Hello again, and welcome to another edition of Authors Audio. I'm your host, Jake D. Steele. Our website, of course, is at worldwideweb.authorsaudio.com, where you can listen to all our interviews and also subscribe to our program online. Today, our program features author Sister Mary Elizabeth Lloyd, whose book AIDS Orphans Rising details a very unsettling problem growing around the world. Did you know that every 14 seconds another child becomes the next AIDS orphan? By 2010, which is just 2 years from now, there will be 25 million AIDS orphans in the world. The death of parents from AIDS leaves behind sometimes 4 or 5 children with no parents and few, if anyone, to take care of them, resulting in millions of so-called child-headed households. Sister Mary has worked in Albania, Brazil, Ethiopia, and India, and we are happy to have her with us now. Sister Mary, welcome to the program.
Oh, great, Jake. Thanks so much for this opportunity.
Sister Mary, it's wonderful to have you on our show today, and thank you for coming. I know that your book is new, but your experiences are not, and that you've been doing a lot of work all around the world in regards to AIDS affected people. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit of how you got started with that.
I've been doing it since 1995. Originally, I started, there were children that were orphans from war, but gradually what we found is now we have more children from AIDS than the children that have died from war. And the children of the orphans of AIDS that we care for, most of them do not have AIDS. They're disease-free, and they're just little brothers and sisters, like you said, trying to make a way in the world together. They're not their usual street kids that are looking for drugs or something like that. They're just children that maybe have been left property, animals, something, and they want to keep their lives together.
Yes, it sounds very reasonable to me that these kids would want to keep their family unit together and their brothers and sisters. My interest is, when you go to a new country, and you've been to many, Albania, Brazil, Ethiopia, India, as far as I know, how do you get started? How do you start to set up a unit there to start helping these people? And do the governments help you? Are they involved in your work?
Sometimes the government helps us, but usually what happens is, well, we are invited. We're a pontifical institute, so usually the Holy Father asks us to go. Pope Benedict will ask us to go somewhere, Pope John Paul II had asked us to go to Albania, and so we contact the nuncio there, the bishop, and he usually will give us a good piece of land, and from then on we're on our own. So we get good benefactors to help us build a school, build an orphanage, or whatever we need for the, we work for the children and the women. And the where we work, usually we start with the poorest of the poor people in that area and then work our way up. Every year we add a grade to the school. We start usually with kindergarten and the women. And so the women, their children usually are the basis for the school, and we build up from there.
Well, I think the task that you are taking up is a very gargantuan task and a very noble task that you and your sisters work at in these various places around the world. Are there other agencies also out there that are helping and working to try to eradicate this problem?
There are many groups trying to help these children, SOS Villages, AVERT, there are many, and you see on TV so many televangelists trying to help these children. The numbers are just incredible. This year alone in India, there will be 4 million new orphans from AIDS, 4 million new ones. So, you know, you need many, many groups doing this to help the children. Where our group is a little different, I'm a member of the Religious Teachers of St. Lucie Filippini. And what we try to do is we try to not only give the children an education, but to also get them placed in life so that they have a job and they're able to continue on with the education that they've received. And that's why I called the book AIDS Orphans Rising. We're hoping to help them rise out of the awfulness that they've already suffered.
Yes, it is a good title. And I guess really what we're talking about, the fundamental thing in your work is probably education. Education in terms of diet, in terms of sexual protection, in terms of how a family unit works the best, and education just in terms of learning and being able to do more interesting work and get really good jobs is also important for them.
Correct. A good education, it gives the children not only higher self-esteem, but they have better job perspectives, economic independence. They eventually can work themselves out of poverty. Also, by going to school, they realize what HIV is, the risks, and how to avoid getting it, and also the future for their own families, how they can provide for them.
Right. Well, Sister Mary, I know when you go to these various countries that the nomenclature we use is the third world. I've been to the so-called third world, and there actually is only one world I've discovered. It's just one world on many different levels of existence. But do the governments there work with you and help you to, for the benefit of all their citizens, to help you to do your work, or do they not? I'd like to know that.
No, the government said they're really strapped. They said have so many other needs that children aren't on the top of the list. A simple example would be water. The children not only need food, but they need water. And we had trouble in Ethiopia, and the kids had no water, so we were able to get sacks from the World Food Program of water. But they gave the containers to the adult women, and so when the orphans would go get water, they would beat the children away because they had no containers. So we had eventually just get a well for the children themselves. It's very small problems that you would never think of, but something as simple as a plastic container. If I had 50 retired plumbers, we could probably save the world.
50 retired plumbers, yes, that's right. Because you're very right. In these areas of the world, things that in North America, for example, we consider to be just everyday normal things like clean water and decent food and vegetables and a warm place to sleep at night, these people are lucky to have even, in some cases, a house, right?
Exactly, yes. And a good bit of our money goes, we pay $3 a month for these little, we call them child-headed households. They're brothers and sisters that are trying to survive without their mother and father. And if the oldest child is older than 12, we rent a house for them, $3 a month, so that they actually have a place to live and call their own. Many children have left their home that was on a farm, and when they come into the city, unscrupulous relatives will take their property and their home. So if the children want to go back, it's not there anymore, and it's not their property. They have no papers or anything to prove that it was their property. Very sad situation.
And these relatives who have taken their homes or whatever, they're not offering the home for the children to live in?
No, they actually chase the children away most of the time.
Oh, my God.
Very awful situation. Sometimes they'll take the oldest girl, but the oldest girl realizes if I go with them, what's going to happen to the little children? They'll be left. So the older girl will usually refuse and then go away.
Well, you know, this is getting into the whole world of values and ethics and spiritual understanding about being your brother's keeper, and it's certainly being your family's keeper. It sounds like these people are quite lost when it comes to the basic considerations for their families, even.
Yes, and it has changed so much. Before, in these countries, if a child was orphaned, an extended family mother, an aunt or an uncle or a grandmother, someone would take the children on. But the numbers are tremendous. In Ethiopia this year, there'll be 470,000 new ones. And so the extended family are maxed out, and they're trying to survive for themselves. And usually what happens is greed comes in, and they're out to save themselves and every man for themselves. I'd like to speak a moment about the grandmothers here. We have one grandmother. She had 10 children who all got married and had children of their own. And all of her 10 children have died of AIDS, and their spouses have died. This grandmother has 50 grandchildren. She comes every day to the convent for food and water for these children. But she's not the only grandmother in town. And this is happening not only in Ethiopia, but in all the other African countries, India and China. China hasn't even reported their numbers yet. You can imagine how staggering they will be.
Well, yes, it is a humongous problem. And the UN is predicting by 2010, 25 million orphans from the AIDS problem alone, not counting the actual people dying from AIDS.
Just from AIDS alone. And if good people aren't nice to these children, can you imagine what an army the bad people would have?
Well, this is where it gets into a very dark region in terms of where kids go when they're in trouble. And if there isn't a family structure, a wholesome structure, a structure of enlightenment there, kids will go to the next default level, wherever that is in the community. And it could be gangs, and it could be a military organization that will give them food and then give them guns, and then they become part of some sort of a structure, which is not really what they should be doing, but it's the best thing that they feel they can really get into at that time. And that's scary.
That's right. And they don't even have to recruit. They come in town with a truck with food or candy or something on it. The kids hop on the truck and off they go. And their life then has changed forever.
Yes, and because these children are so disenfranchised, the chances of them getting AIDS or other illnesses, even serious illnesses, are really quite high, right?
Very high for the teenage girls, because they're desperate. They have, you know, three or four, some of them five or six younger brothers and sisters, and they need money for them to survive. So a lot of them will turn to prostitution, and they don't have a clue what AIDS is or how you get it. Most of them don't even know how to read and write. So education, as you said before, is the clue. We've got to get these children and get them educated. And that's what we do. Mainly we do girls. We started out over 300 years ago with girls. We came to America in 1910 in Trenton, New Jersey, for that same reason, for the girls and the women of Trenton, New Jersey, because they weren't living a good life, and they needed an education. And so now we're doing this in many other places.
Yes. Well, it's very strange for me, because I know that Africa just by itself has been on the help list of the Western countries for the last at least 100 years or more. And there's been so much, there's been so many donations or efforts to help various countries and various peoples in Africa, and yet we still see that something hasn't taken there. It hasn't really blossomed the way a lot of people would have hoped.
Right. It's so corrupt, and I suppose it's at the head of the government, but I don't even know where you'll find this corruption. I mean, I know you find it everywhere. For instance, if a group will send a container of things for the children, you know, a shipping container, by the time we get it, it's an empty container. And I was there one time when the container arrived, and I had helped pack it in America. When it arrived in Ethiopia, it was totally empty, and I was, like, shattered. And the sister goes, oh, good, we have a new classroom. And they cut windows out of it, and they had a new classroom. But, you know, the wonderful things that they would have had to run a school had the things arrived safely. So there's just corruption. I saw a beautiful example of it one time. Take a bag of M&Ms in a room of 100 people, and you know, play a game. Who gets some of it? And the poor person will be the last person, and, you know, the person that drives the plane, the person that packs the truck, different things. And by the time you get to the child that needs the food, maybe there's one M&M left.
Right. Well, that M&M story, I'm sure, is very demonstrative of people who are trying to help others, but people are helping themselves along the way. I'm sure you have some very inspiring stories, however, of how much you have helped people around the world, and maybe you could relay that to our listeners.
Yes, there's a young girl I'm thinking of. Leti Salasi is her name. And she came to us, and she didn't have a clue what to do. She had five younger brothers and sisters, and she didn't know how to start a business or do anything. So she went through our program, and by the time she graduated, she had opened her own pizza parlor, Pizza and Gelato Cafe. We helped her open it, and now she's 23, and she's got this cafe, and it's the best thing in town, and her younger brothers and sisters are all attending school, getting an education, and she will eventually get married and have a good life herself.
Well, you know, that must be, it's very rewarding for you and your workers as well. Go ahead.
One other one about a young boy that we had. He came to us, and he had two younger brothers and sisters. And he said, I want to make some money for my family, a cute little guy. And sister gave him 6 eggs, and she said, sell these, and then we'll see what we can do. So he went out, and he sold them, came right back. So she gave him more eggs, and he entered our school program, and every day he'd go sell eggs. Well, today he's got 500 chicks. He's got a house, a yard, and his brothers and sisters. And he comes once a week, and he brings extra eggs for the sisters to start other boys on their own program.
Wow. Well, you see, that's a very important thing, because, you know, it's the old story of teach a man to fish and he'll have food for the rest of life. If you just give a man a fish, he's going to be hungry the next day. And I'm sure that a lot of your work and your values and ideas are transferred to many more people than you might actually expect. And I'm sure that the work down the road is going to show great improvement, but it will take time.
Takes time, yes. And some people say, well, how, you know, why bother? You know, you're so few sisters and there are 25 million orphans. But that story about the starfish, and a little child was throwing the starfish back in the ocean, and an adult came by and said, why are you doing it? There are thousands of them on the beach. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter to anyone. And the little boy said, well, it matters to this starfish, and he threw one back in the ocean.
Yes. Well, the point being is that there just aren't enough people and resources in the world today. I suppose there could be, but there aren't at the moment, to completely ameliorate this just terrible problem that is a scourge for many, many poor nations. But, you know, you and the sisters are doing, really, I know, a fantastic job to really make a difference out there. And this is the kind of thing that every one of my listeners that is hearing the program here, I think, has to think about maybe getting involved with work like this, because it is the average person contributing in any way they can that's going to help turn things around for these people.
Exactly. It's so good what you say. The average person that's going to do it. The rich people, they might do it, but it's actually the average person that's going to do it with the talents that they have. Three things they can do. Number one, pray. Pray for these children. People say, oh, prayer doesn't mean anything. Yes, prayer works. Prayer is very powerful. And sacrifice for these children. Yes, if you have money, fine, it's great and it's wonderful. I'd love to have it. But also sacrifice using your talents. If you're a runner, I have some people who run. One girl's running from the Death Valley to the top of Mount Whitney, and she gets sponsors, and then she will send any sponsorship money that she receives to me. Another man that's a mountain climber, he's done Mount Everest and the 7 highest mountains in the world, and the same thing. Each time he goes, he puts our flag on the top of the mountain, and any sponsorship money he receives, he sends to us. And as I mentioned before, the plumbers or anyone to cook or a sewer, you know, you have an old sewing machine in your house. Get it to somebody who needs it. A sewing machine can change a woman's life around. So use the gifts that you have. And then the third thing, as you said, actually give of yourself to these children. Do some good with your own life.
What if a person actually wanted to get involved and go over to some of these places to help? How would they go about doing that, do you know?
Well, in my book, AIDS Orphans Rising, there are many different sites, and our site, which is aidsorphansrising.org, would give the email, and many you could write to me, or you can write to any other organization that is doing something that you like, and we'd put you in touch with somebody that will help you to help these children.
Well, I think it's marvelous, Sister Mary, what you and your colleagues are doing, and I think we also need enthusiastic people who have different skills, different practical skills, like electricians and builders and plumbers and so on, that may feel the call to go out there and help in giving your work some infrastructure level and some support on that level. So I think, is this something that we need?
Right, and a good way to start, you see those TV shows, Home Makeover, First Soldier, different things like that. These are good places to start. You learn how to do it, and then you go on and pick your own country and then go help those people. I have a great friend, Frank McKinney, out of Florida, and he goes to Haiti. He's actually building villages right now, and it's not hard once you learn how to do it.
Well, you know, that's really fantastic. And you know, over here in North America, people are always complaining about their lives, how this isn't right, that isn't right, the gas prices are too high, the mortgages are too high, everything's, nothing's right, I still got to go to work, pay the bills. You know, maybe it's time for some people to say, you know, why don't I start thinking of other people rather than myself? Because the spiritual teachings all tell us that. And once you do, of course, everything seems to evaporate and your concentration is on other people. And maybe there's people listening now that would think, you know, I think I'm ready to go and do this.
Yes, and it sounds like you've learned that, Jake, yes. Once you give to somebody else, your own problems disappear. And God rewards you in so many ways you don't even know. It's a wonderful thing.
Well, yes, Sister Mary, I've experienced that myself, and I agree with you 100%. I would like to thank you so much for appearing on Authors Audio today and sharing with us some of your experiences in trying to help all around the world AIDS orphans who are left as orphans because their parents have died of AIDS. And the name of the book, of course, is AIDS Orphans Rising. And your website is AIDSOrphansRising.org. And we will also provide a link for people to purchase a book online from Amazon.com. And all the money that is received from the sale of this book is going to help Sister Mary and her other sisters that work with her to continue this very important and very serious work that they're doing all around the world. So I thank you again.
Yeah, 100% of any of the money from the book goes to the children. That's a good thing to point out, too. 100% of what you give to the Religious Teachers Filipini gets to the children. Very few groups will give 100% to the children. They always keep a little for themselves for administration. I don't need it for administration. Other people are good to me for that. Any money that you give me for the children, I will use for the children.
Well, I'd like to thank again Sister Mary Elizabeth Lloyd for being on Authors Audio today and sharing with us some amazing work that she and her sisters are doing in the world. And her book is AIDS Orphans Rising. And be sure to get that at Amazon.com through Authors Audio website, and that'll help with the work that is being done.
And thank you, Jake, for all the good that you do, and God bless you.
Thank you again, Sister Mary. And this is Jake D. Steele, AuthorsAudio.com. And until next time, keep dreaming and happy reading. Bye for now.